I feel like at some point we should talk about, I'm going to Las Vegas next week.
Oh, and nice.
That, like, feels, it just felt weird kind of the whole time. It doesn't have much to do with anything. And I don't have anything interesting to say about it. I'm not excited about being in Las Vegas. This is like my, it's, I can't imagine a place less designed for me.
Have you been to Vegas?
Goodness, no.
Okay. I've been.
Is it not shitty?
A couple of times. There are parts that are okay.
Fantastic. Like, a ring of endorsement.
The
special party just for guests. Christina Aguilera is the special guest.
And oh, will get be out of town.
No, for real. Hey, check this out. You want to hear something awesome? I'm not going to go to it. No fucking way. Welcome to Tune Change,
a show where two music jerks try to give albums a chance.
So, I spent a fair amount of my time with this record just trying to find a foothold someplace by comparing it to things I was already familiar with. So let me lay some of them on you, and we'll see if you kind of if it rang those same bells. Biggest one, the Vaseline's. This has got kind of the instrumentation and the kind of washy, tinny guitar layered with reverb plus the occasional concertina.
Mm-hmm. That was something I hadn't thought of, but yeah, I think that's correct. Very, you know, and they also had a lady singer as well, correct? So kind of...
Yeah, it's Billie Holiday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, it wasn't Billie Holiday. No,
well, I didn't know if it was a similar similar name situation or
no. She's her nickname is famously Lady. Let's move on. So the other thing it reminds me of is like 2010's Blog Pop, which is not and I liked it a good deal more than the dismissive way I just said that. But I don't like the Blog Pop. I do like the ah, shit, I'm supposed to look it up and be sure. Cocteau Twins?
I've been listening to some interviews, and that's, yeah, Cocteau is how I have been hearing it pronounced.
Okay, so if we're disagreeing about toe and tau, I feel like we're in good shape. I was I wanted to make sure I wasn't doing a Joe Quain Phoenix kind of situation where I'm like pronouncing hard sounds that shouldn't be and just sounding like the world's biggest fucking hayseed. All right, Cocteau Twins, Heaven or Las Vegas. Matt, take it away with the what is this? Because the what did you know and when did you know it, for me, is jack shit.
What did the president know and when did he know it?
I had heard their name in some interviews at some points, so you have the floor.
So I had certainly heard of Cocteau Twins, and I had been listening to the song Heaven or Las Vegas, and I wish I, you know... It kind of picked up in my rotation over the last maybe year or so. I wish I could put my finger on what had kind of lodged it into my consciousness. I actually stumped my Gen X boss, you know, because a lot of times I'll tell him, oh, hey, you know, we're doing, you know, this is what we're doing on the show coming up. And I was like, hey, are you a fan of the Cocteau Twins? And he said he didn't know them. So I'd say that they're, you know, as obscure as a band that ended up on, you know,
they're
on many best album lists, you know, is going to be they're on that obscure tier.
My theory is that it's kind of a timing thing, because their dream poppiness kind of peaked right before, like, the part of indie music that exploded was the Loud Quiet Loud part of the 4AD yes. catalog. And, like, that got really big. And I feel like, this kind of thing was never directly going to become super-duper popular. It's just not made to do that. And they're very much a, like, you can see why a ton of people cite them as an influence, but yes. a lot of those people don't really sound like this.
Yeah, very much a precursor band. And you were talking about kind of what this reminds you of. And, you know, for me, it's lots of like fractional things, or like, you know, there's a couple of tracks where they set the dial to Disintegration. And then there's other, you know, tracks that are almost more of like kind of a, you know, you'd mentioned Massive Attack early on, but also like, you know, Sneaker Pimps or kind of pre trip hop kind of stuff going on. And I think that you're right that it's a weird timing for all of this to kind of show up and maybe not really fit in where it was at, but, you know, lots of people kind of put their own spin on this kind of a thing.
So I think kind of the pieces of the indie underground that like caught everyone's attention right after this record were, speaking of Massive Attack, like stuff got bassier and kind of, for lack of a better word, funkier after this in the, like, yeah, trip hop is exactly right, but there's a reason you wouldn't describe this as trip hop.
Right.
Like, if you don't have a subwoofer, you'll like Heaven or Las Vegas just fine. It does not matter.
Right.
If you buy No Protection, which is the dub remix of Protection, which is actually what I recommend, and it's actually what he's talking about in High Fidelity when he says he would take the Massive Attack song and put it on his side one, track one's list. Anyway, yeah, I'm popular. So stuff got funkier and trip hoppier, or it got Loud Quiet Loud abrasiver. And this is the Cocktail Twins at the tail end of a getting less abrasive cycle. So they yes. kind of like became, whereas Nirvana took the Vaseline's and were like, what if we had distorted guitars?
Right.
This is like, what if we had less distorted guitars? and they just kind of evolved into, again, like Beach House, but better.
Yeah. Yeah. The I had not thought of, 2010, blog pop, but I think that's a pretty, you know, a pretty apt comparison, as well. You know, I wouldn't say that they are twee. I feel like they're too electric, you know, nobody's playing, playing a ukulele or anything, but,
yeah, and it's kind of too substantial, and there's too much body to the kind of everything.
Well, and we should talk about them.
This is just to kind of round out the, like, reminds me of. It's kind of, I get kind of a Psycho Candy sort of vibe, the Jesus and Mary Chain record, who are another band that, like, nobody talks about Jesus and Mary Chain. And I yes. mean nobody. Like, and like Echo and the Bunnymen. There's a whole like sub. I feel like at some point everybody was like, we got The Cure, and we got Joy Division, and we got New Order, and we're good.
Right.
And the bands like below that.
Yes.
And oh, and the other thing we haven't even mentioned yet is like the other thing that happened with this is the people who heard this just went and made shoegaze. Like, they just distorted exactly. up all the guitars. And basically did exactly this, but with distorted guitars. And that's what happened. It's like, you know, where'd the dinosaurs go? It's fucking birds, dude. They're all around you.
They all bought DS1s and Big Muffs. Definitely. As one more reminds me of, you know, and we're going to talk more about this, but you can definitely hear, you know, Kevin Shields of My Bloody Valentine, you know, had been a Cocteau Twins fan, one would imagine, you know, kind of.
Of course. Yeah, that's exactly who I was thinking of. Like, we got,
Slowdive is another one of those early British shoegaze bands that.
Yeah, and you, the reason you've heard of all these shoegaze bands and you might not have heard of Cocteau Twins is because when you distort the fuck out of the guitars, your drum machines sound just fine. it kind of doesn't matter. Trust me. It's just, hey, what if all the guitars were distorted instead?
Still keep the chorus pedals, keep the flangers.
Oh, yeah. Add the distortion. If anything, you're gonna want to get some more chorus pedals. If anything,
you know what? Double it.
You're gonna need a reverb pedal for before the distortion pedal and one for after the distortion pedal. You're gonna need both of those things. There are for real, like, and there are people who do cool stuff with that kind of shit, but it's so hard to not sound like trash.
Robin Guthrie, the co-founder of Cocteau Twins, along with Elizabeth Fraser, who was not a founder but was added in 1981, and Simon Raymond, those are the kind of three, the canonical Cocteau Twins lineup. They're all from they're from Scotland, and moved down to London, where they met Simon for playing bass.
I'm glad I let you talk for once as I interrupt you. The singer being added. So first of all, the singer is the chief difference, really, between the, like, that's why My Bloody Valentine isn't, like, just doing this, is because she's an exceptionally gifted singer.
Yes.
She's very, very good and is doing, like, a kind of a PJ Harvey kind of lilty thing, but with, like, Sigur Rós, like nonsense singing. I mean, she's saying words, but, like, you can't understand any of them, so she might as well not be singing words. It's wild to me that they were a band for 2 years without her. It's like,
well,
in 79 to 81, it's like finding out that, like, Duke Ellington's orchestra was, like, already an orchestra, and then Duke Ellington came along. It's like, she's so essential to every single song, and it's just like, you just wouldn't give a single
it's the whole band
about this band if not for the singer. Even though the stuff that the band is doing is cool, that's about the level the band is at. It's like, oh, hey, cool. But no one's tolerating this drum machine thing if you don't got this singer. Nobody is.
Yeah. The linchpin of the entire operation is her vocals. Sigur Rós is a great, you know, who does this remind me of? I heard an interview with her, and, you know, I didn't have a year on it. You know, it's some radio interview, and they're asking her about her writing process, and, you know, she's very, very, very upfront about, I'm just picking out words, and, you know, they kind of fit together, and you know, there's not a lot of meaning to be derived from the lyrics, and I paid no attention at all to any lyrics, really. You know, though the ones that you can hear, I think, are effective. I mean, I think Heaven or Las Vegas is a you know, kind of a neat foil, but
you
but that's not what we're here for.
Yeah, they're writing song titles, not song lyrics.
and boy, do they.
Yeah, and you can do that. Like, yeah. A lot of people can do that. There's some Morrisseys out there who seem to exclusively do that at times, to steal an Elvis Costello dig. Let's talk about the drum machines, because actually, usually, they're fine. Usually.
I think that here's my grand thought on drum machines on this album in particular, and then I have another thing that I want to get into, but they are doing things with drum machines that you couldn't necessarily do with, or at least they report to be, and I've listened to a few earlier songs, but you know, they're putting them through fuzz pedals and, you know, delays and playing them on, you know, on guitar amps and tape saturation and stuff. Nothing to the level of like Mission of Burma type things, but it's not just, oh hey, we're gonna press the button and we're gonna get our tracks, but it's certainly, you know, there are certainly songs where it does kind of sound like that, and you know, you mentioned, yeah, distorted guitars, you know, kind of can cover up some of that. What I wish is for the counterfactual of, well, give me the record with live drums, because I feel like what makes really interesting shoegaze or you know, kind of alternative music, the stuff that this stuff was an antecedent to, is the feel and the give and the take, just, you know, subtle rhythm changes of a live drummer that, you know, can kind of bring more dynamic to the music. I felt like this album was pretty flat, in terms of, like, it's all, you know, there's the fast tempo and there's the ballad tempo, and, you know, I'm not asking for like Mitch Mitchell fills, but I feel like that they're leaving money on, I don't know if they're leaving money on the table. They're in fact probably saving money by not employing another band member, but,
you don't got to employ another band, but you can still take the drum machine on tour. Just like record with the, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a total control thing, not an artistic decision, I feel like.
I think that's right on the money. Robin Guthrie, you know, famed, very much a control thing.
It's like, it reminds me of like, why does every, or, well, not every, but why do a lot of like shredder guitar albums have like shitbag drum machine sounds? It's because the guy's a lunatic and he wants to control every goddamn thing, or yeah, he just like genuinely doesn't care about what anything except the guitar sounds like, which is also sometimes the answer. So the drum machine, I think, something interesting I found, it's not a drum machine, it's a bunch of drum machines and drum samples put into an MPC, and he's sequencing all this stuff on an MPC. So that's, yeah, why, like, there is some variation, but like, I think beyond, I don't even need live drums, but the songs where it's obtrusive is where the snare is exactly the same every single time.
Exactly.
And it's trying to be, it's a like digital drum machine trying to sound like a real thing, sampled into another, into a sampler, and then played at the same velocity every single time. Like,
exactly.
I know for a fucking fact you can change the velocity on the MPC, or at least the volume. But it's not like you had multi samples. I think the way people do this now is they chop stuff up. So it's like a real thing, but it's clearly manipulated, so people aren't quite so hard on it.
Exactly, yeah, and that's the way to, you know, if you're gonna do drum machines, that's the way to do it. Is
you got
lean
the fucking
into,
sampler? You got the, yeah, sampler.
Yeah. Who's the isn't there a band that uses like rhinoplasty sounds as beats or something? Like lean into.
I mean, he got the same
things that you can't do.
He's got the same sampler that RZA does. Think about that. Same sampler.
Well, and you know, we mentioned it before, and like I love Loveless, the My Bloody Valentine, you know, kind of breakthrough foundational shoegaze record, but I, you know,
if you're noticing the drums, it's a problem.
Yeah. Well, and it's really detracting from, you know, what I think, you know, could really be. There's a reason that the Smashing Pumpkins, you know, because Smashing Pumpkins was another one of these kind of art, you know, jangle reverb bands that started as a three piece with a drum machine, and then they got a drummer and, you know, they got better.
Yeah, there's a reason it's the one guy Jimmy Chamberlain had to kill a guy to get kicked out of the band, and then he got let back in the band, and he's gotten like fired again and come back again. I don't want to be libelous. Jimmy Chamberlain, I think, did drugs with the keyboardist who overdosed on tour, and it was a big. 10-year-old Brett was aware of that and fucking yes. bummed out about it.
It was, as they say, a whole thing.
Yeah. So I've talked a bunch of shit about the drum machines. I think there are times when it's like actually pretty effective, specifically the first song. And a bunch of songs where it's not the point and it doesn't matter and it's not obtrusive and it's fine. When it's the samples of things that are trying to sound like real drums and he's like programming like realistic sounding drum fills and stuff, that doesn't do it for me as much. And I dock a lot of points from a couple of songs for that.
Yeah. I think the title track, woefully, you know, has a couple of those really egregious fills that are just kind of out of pocket. You know, and it's that much more apparent when it's out of pocket because everything else is so fucking in pocket that, you know, because it's all, you know, it's all quantized and such. I didn't know what to expect from this album. I had heard the title track plenty of times and I put it on and Cherry Colored Funk came on and... You know, I was like, okay, yeah, I can get down with this right off the bat. You know, the vocals are making the entire composition.
Oh, that's my favorite song on the record.
Is it really? Okay.
Yeah. Because, and I haven't listened to this a ton of times and I feel like this is probably an opinion that would change on like 30 more listens. But it's the one that definitely grabs me the most.
Well, and I think that there are like, there's about three kinds of songs on this record, and you know, you got your kind of up tempo pop, and then you've got more the ballads, and then there's kind of a grab bag of stuff in between. You know, just to get it out of the way, the title track is catchy as hell. There's a reason that this is their biggest song. I enjoy it quite a bit. I think that all of the, you know, drum machine aside, all of the things that they do well, they are doing well here. I remember it hit me, you know, the other day. This is where I first, you know, said, oh, okay, they're just, you know, dialing up Disintegration, but I really like the solo. There are a couple of there's only a couple of guitar solos on the record, and I think that they're both pretty good. But two of the two that I think are my my favorites. I really liked Ice Blink Luck, which is the third one.
Yeah, it's pretty
and
good.
Fatsio Politic was the other one that, like, they're both kind of up tempo. They're the ones that I wish had the drums the most, but you know, and you can kind of hear how if they would have written this or been written by, you know, if it was written by a whole other band, it would be a different song. Of course it would. But, you know, it's in that, and this is a metaphor that I come back to, but it's in that weird estuary of, yeah, it's kind of a shoegaze alternative song, but it's also kind of an 80s pop song. And, you know, these weird elements are mixing and turns it into something really kind of interesting. And I really grew to like this record. The first time I listened through, I was like, yeah, you know, yeah, Heaven or Las Vegas, you know, some other songs. And each time I've re-listened, I've found more to like, I think.
Yeah, it's like there's nothing on the record that I dislike. The floor of this record is very, very, very high. I can't really distinguish most of the songs. And that's not entirely bad, because it's a good it's a good song, but it's the ones that I can differentiate, it's mostly a bad sign. Like the one that's in like a waltz cadence, I don't like that one. Things like that. It's kind of similar to, I mean, that's how the guitars are, like, intentionally, like, I'm gonna record this jangly guitar line, this jangly guitar part 8 times. And you know what it made me realize? When you do that with a guitar, it just sounds like an auto harp. A lot of this record's guitars sound like an auto harp through a ton of reverb. And check this out, dude. The auto harp, what's auto about it is you ain't gotta learn no chords. You just press a button and it does the chords. So that's just a tip for y'all. If you wanna be the Cocteau Twins, just get an auto harp, man. Put it through a reverb pedal and then into a big muff and then into a reverb pedal, and now you're famous.
And then a stereo chorus.
Yeah, now you're famous. Congratulations. You're gonna need like 6 or 7 jazz choruses. You're gonna want to get the 120, even though you live in a studio apartment. You're gonna want to get the 120.
I sure hope you like jazz masters.
Definitely do. You have a jazz master. You've had a jazz master for 2 months, and you are now going to go have the tremolo blocked, even though it is the reason you bought the fucking guitar in the first place, probably, when you realize it's the dumbest fucking way to do tremolo on a guitar, because it literally changes the scale length. Good Lord. Should we get to overall thoughts before our segments?
Yeah, I
overall,
think so. I mean,
I like it a lot. I think the album sags at about the 2/3 mark. I could do with some real drums, but don't think it's totally detrimental, despite my earlier comments. Matt, you have the floor.
I totally agree. I was higher on the waltzy thing, I think, than you were, because it's kind of a one of those up tempo ones. Definitely go check this out. You know, certainly check out the singles, Chair Colored Funk, Ice Blink Luck, and Heaven or Las Vegas. You know, I've been really enjoying this, and am going, you know, going further back into kind of the earlier, you know, more punky influenced Cocteau Twins. But as you said, you know, would love to hear some real drums somewhere. But I was really, you know, really pleased with how well or and how easily this went down. It's a fun record. It's 10 tracks. It's definitely worth your time.
Yeah, it's I don't give a fuck what you do, but it's a breezy record, and I enjoyed it and will enjoy it again. All right, Matt, we both have games. We're gonna listen to. I'm gonna insert all of games here because we're playing two games. Actually, three games. All right. So
yeah, we're heavy on
take it away
games. So I was wondering about a game for this episode, and got thinking about the juxtaposition heaven or Las Vegas, and what does that sound like, and you know what are these guys doing? So I have
tell me there was a backstory. I thought it was just because they was a Scottish band.
Only insofar as, they're Scottish. You know, what kind of game can we play about that? And I have I've created a game that I've titled Scottish or from Ireland.
Why wouldn't you make it parallel and call it Scottish or Irish? Why wouldn't you call it from Scotland or from Ireland, or you call it Scottish or Irish? I don't see why we would call it Scottish or from Ireland.
Well, because that fits better into the heaven or Las Vegas cadence.
All right. Well, there's two kinds of people in this world. Speaking of contrasts, that I'm horrified, but that's look, Cocteau Twins are from Scotland. So Matt's going to say some stuff, and I'm going to guess whether it's from Scotland or Ireland. And then I've got a way darker version of it that we'll play afterwards.
All right. Some of these are pretty easy. We'll go in order from
most to least Irish.
Yes, in most to least Irish. First one, My Bloody Valentine.
Scottish.
They're from Ireland.
Fine. Go ahead. Yeah. Go.
The Proclaimers.
Scottish.
Bingo. U2.
Irish.
Van Morrison. This one's kind of an asterisk.
He's from Northern Ireland.
He is indeed from Northern Ireland. What kind of asterisk can we have? Big Country.
They are Scottish.
Yeah, they are Scottish. Hell yeah. Donovan.
Scottish.
Correct. Yeah, he's the Scottish Bob Dylan. Couple more recent ones. Snow Patrol.
They are Scottish.
They are Scottish.
I don't know who that is, but I accidentally stumbled upon it earlier when I saw a list of Scottish bands. I also happen to know that they have Irish. They have Irish members.
This is kind of, you know, there's probably a great deal of a crossover, right? But Thin Lizzy,
they are Irish.
Yes. Belle and Sebastian,
Scottish.
Correct. Cranberries. All right, and then last one. This is one I didn't know. The Bay City Rollers,
Irish.
Evidently they're Scottish. I didn't know that either. So I wasn't keeping track or keeping score, but
I got two wrong. Okay, the first one and the last one.
that was Scottish or from Ireland.
All right, now let's get fucking dark. All right, the game I came up with is, did this English king kill more Scottish people or Irish people? Doesn't have to be personally, but what are they responsible for? Important caveat, Oliver Cromwell, not a monarch, not eligible.
Lord Protector, but not a monarch.
Indeed. All right.
Okay.
Henry VIII.
I am Henry the Eighth. I am. I wonder if Herman's Hermits are Scottish or Irish. I'm gonna say. Let's see. Henry the Eighth. That opened what? 15. I'm gonna say Irish.
Incorrect. Scottish by a lot. He fought a war against the Scots where he killed King James the Fourth. All right. Edward the Third.
That's an older one. It was an early Edward, I presume.
The third, specifically to... the third Edward.
The third of the Edwards.
Rather famously.
Six? I'm gonna say Scotland or Scottish again.
That is correct. All right. He also fought a battle with some Scottish people. Elizabeth the First.
I suppose the Irish?
Yeah, by a lot. She killed a bunch of Irish. 9 years war.
Okay.
9 years war, a lot of Irish. Again, this is like responsible for like during their reign. We're not being all fucking precise. Okay. The ones I'm picking should be fairly clear. Right. Henry the Second.
I'm gonna guess Scottish. My rubric is if they were earlier kings, then presumably you know they were still fucking around on the Isle of Great Britain.
That's a bad strategy, my friend. Henry II led the initial Norman invasion of Ireland.
All right,
killed thousands. All right, James the First.
James First, I feel like I'm the vibe that I'm getting is that he was adjacent in some way to Mary Queen of Scots, so I'm going to say Scottish.
No, he was the King of Scotland. He ruled in personal union. So no, it's Irish.
Okay. Irish.
Trying to see what else we've got left. I did this in like the dumbest way possible. All right. Okay, so we had a Edward the Third. How about Edward the Second? His dad, I presume. Is that how it works? Who can say?
Those wacky Brits and their inherited monarchies.
A lot of times they just kill the other guy. Back when you had ones and twos at the ends of the names, they were just killed. They just killed the last guy.
I think I said Scottish for Edward the Third, so I'm going to say Irish for Edward the Second.
That is incorrect. It's going to be Scots. He had a few campaigns in Scotland where he killed a few folks. That's all I got. We got no more. This has been Who Shot Ya? This has been an episode of Who Shot Ya on the Tune Change podcast.
Bumps and bruises, blunts and Land Cruisers.
All right, so Cocteau Twins. There's three of these motherfuckers. What are we doing?
How's that work?
Twins. So I devised a game where I'm going to say a band name that contains the number of members, and you're going to tell me how many members they actually have. Now, some of these are accurate, right? They're not all like they're not all the Cocteau Twins, right? Okay. I couldn't make a game out of people who give an incorrect number of people in their band name. It's just not very common. So also very difficult to search for. very, very, very difficult. No one cares. No, who would possibly want to know the answer to this question?
We're breaking new ground on the Tune Change podcast.
All right. So I give you the band. You tell me how many members they have. I'm going with the like most of their career, kind of rubric here. Pizzicato 5. Another band whose name you've heard but can't possibly occupy less of your attention, right?
I feel like I've heard them. Are there indeed five of them?
Nope, there's two of them.
There's Two.
All right. Maroon 5.
I'm pretty sure there's 5 of those guys.
That's correct. Although my sources tell me that there are now 7. So kind of a partial credit sort of situation. The Dave Clark 5.
5 of them.
That's correct. Thompson Twins.
Oh, Thompson Twins. I knew there was another twin and twins act that
don't do my shit. I made that up. That's my thing that I invented.
Thompson Twins. I think they also have 3.
Ah, God damn it! That's correct. Okay, Alkaline Trio.
I think that there are 4 of them. I feel like
they're actually a trio.
They are a trio. Okay. Yeah,
I knew there'd be at least one where you outthought yourself. Like, but I know that he knows that I don't know.
Midwest emo, and there's always at least 2 guitars floating around, and
they're pretty straight ahead pop punk. For almost like he's the guitarist from this band is who when Tom DeLonge wanted to like chase aliens for a few years, they got this guy.
Like, oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, for like a long time, like 7 years. I mean, this is a thing I bring up with you periodically, and I feel like we may have actually talked about it on the podcast before, but the fact that Rob Trujillo is the longest tenured Metallica bassist, period. Like, not like after Cliff, or like he's been a bassist longer than
for sure.
It's just wild. It's like a, you know, it's like a Cleopatra is closer to us than the pyramids kind of thing.
Yeah.
So the 4 seasons.
I think that there are 5.
There's four seasons. Yeah, they're the 4 seasons. They're from the era. They're from a pre-irony era.
I guess my thinking was that it was Frankie Valli and the 4 seasons.
Yeah.
So comprising the 4 a total of 5.
Yeah, but I didn't say Frankie Valli and the 4 seasons. I said the 4 seasons. Who, if they were and Frankie Valli, that would be 5 because 4 plus 1 is 5. All right. Up next, Ben Folds 5.
That is a trio.
Yeah, that is the classic "Ha Gotcha." It's a very '90s band guy thing, right? Okay, Jurassic 5.
I don't know. I could see it being a big, you know, kind of a big hip hop collective kind of thing.
It is indeed.
There are 5 of them.
6. There are six Jurassic 5s. Sorry about that.
Is this like a U-God situation?
They got 2 DJs. That's where they get you. The 4 Tops.
I believe that there are 4 Tops.
Yeah, you don't want to overthink the 4 Tops. all right, and rounding it out, the MC5.
Here's how I'm trying to puzzle this out. You know, I'm trying to remember if they had a lead singer, and then do they have 1 guitarist or 2 guitarists? And I don't think they had a lead singer. I think Wayne Kramer was the lead singer, and I think that he also played guitar. I don't know. Did they have another? Are there 3? I think there's 4. I'm going with 4.
They're called. No, there's 5. MC5. Watching you turn yourself in knots and then start at 3? What the fuck's wrong with you? So I'm like actually mad at you for doing that because I was going to make a joke where I asked you what MC5 stood for. Well, do you actually know?
Motor City 5?
That's correct. So I'm okay. Now I'm super confused why you started at 3.
Well, you know, but,
but what the joke I was going to make was, you know what it stands for, right? And when you I was going to encourage you to let me tell you, and then I was going to say, we are sexual perverts. which is a great little side quest on Wikipedia is looking at the, like, all the PMRC stuff, the Tipper Gore stuff that is just like the things that bothered us, Matt. Good Lord. Strong. Oh, I'm just gonna come out strong with it. I think we should do the Cro-Mags record.
I was ready to between this and the Joni Mitchell a while back. I think we're ready to return to something a little more abrasive. I'm excited about it. You know, kind of going into the winter. Warm up with some New York hardcore from the Cro-Mags. What do we have a release year on this record? I'm curious.
I want to say 84, but that's made up.
Okay, so it is an older record. It is a pre 2000s
86.
86. Okay, I'm even more excited now.
Yeah. The Wikipedia genres list: hardcore punk, tough guy hardcore. Second listed of two. But AllMusic gave it 4.5 stars. So this is gonna be a lot of dumb fun. I think there's a song called World Peace and a song called Show You No Mercy. It's cool.
We're gonna go do the whole cycle.
We're gonna watch
with the Cro-Mags.
We're gonna watch out for each other in the pit next week. I'm fucking excited.
It's very important.
Elbows up, Cro-Mags. Next time on Tune Change.
And until then, listener, we do thank you for listening. For Matt, I am Brett. That's not right. For Brett, I am Matt.
Listeners, we thank you for listening. Names confused. I've been Brett on Tune Change.
And I've been Matt. Don't forget to listen to music or your own name.
If you want to listen to some music you're not sure you'll like, go to directory.bandcamp.com. That's where I put music that I make, and if you like beeps and boops and occasional guitar chugs, you might like it. Directory.bandcamp.com.
I am aware of the Isle of Man and its location and its weird ass flag, but I did not know that there were there were famed motorcycle races.
Yeah, so it's been going on since like 1910. So like basically since there have been motorcycles, they've been racing motorcycles on the Isle of Man.
That's rad.
Have not. Well, hang on. They have not updated the infrastructure much. But anyway, it's a 37-mile course. It goes like almost all the way around the island.
Okay.
So there has been 1 year since 1937 that didn't have a fatality.
Oh no! Oh my God!
One. Oh, no. There are. So I counted up the years with 5 or more fatalities in the same year. There are 18 of them.
Jesus. It's
9 people died at the 2005 Isle of Man trials. Check this out. This is probably my favorite's the wrong word, but this is the wildest one. In 2018, someone died because they got hit by a police car that was on its way to a different fatality.
Oh my God. That's bananas.
It's so dangerous and violent that in 1977, the like best motorcycle racer in the world who had like won 10 of these races was like, I'm never doing this again. Like, I'm never.
Is it road racing? Is it like motocross?
It's 200 mile an hour asphalt motorcycles.
Okay.
On roads built in, like 1850
roads. Or some shit.
On public road. They're not, it's not a racetrack. It's public roads. No. It's on the, they just close the roads and just have, and there's little cobblestone walls and shit all over the place. There's no like runoff area. There's no like, you know, when you see the like guys that are like on an actual track and they like fall off and they like skid across the gravel. They got none of that shit. So the deaths are actually increasing. Because motorcycles, I don't know if you know about this, motorcycles are still motorcycles, and like there's not anything around you, like by definition.
Right.
So if you're doing 180, you're just extra fucked. It's like
you're a flesh missile.
If like 80, if like, you know, 60s and 70s F1. Like, if they had just, like, never done anything to make it safer and just kept making the cars faster, like, that's basically what right. this is.
It kind of reminds me of, I listened to a podcast about, like, what it's like to go to Everest and, you know, and like, lots of people are like, oh, there's trash up there now. But, like, but you're also just, like, you know, because the whole thing is, the air is so thin, you know, like at that highest stage that like you want to get up, you want to like say I climbed Everest and you want to get the fuck back down before, you know, your lungs,
the death zone, yeah,
you know, yeah, fucking kill you. And there are people who have died, and it's so, you know, it's so dangerous and like limiting, you can't be up there for very long at all, that they just leave them there, you know. So you're just walking by and, oh, hey, here's old Gray Boots or something. They got names for them and shit. It's like, man, that's that seems names, like that would kind of, you
the
know,
names is dark.